And yeah, we're really looking forward today. I thank Sumitra Mataji for picking up this topic because journaling is something I always talk about in various classes, and she kind of picked up when I talked on it a few weeks ago, and she suggested, why don't we actually do a session on how to journal? So I'll try to share some thoughts with you. Yeah, I'm going to try and be really open and real with all of you today, because that's really what journaling is about. It's about opening the heart and being honest and exploring the inner world. So that's what I'll try to do with you today. Nice to see so many young, bright souls on the call. So yeah, Hare Krishna, and thank you very much for the opportunity. All right. So I'll share my screen. We'll have a little bit of a presentation. I probably won't speak for too much longer than maybe 45 minutes to an hour. Famous last words. I'll try to keep it not too long, and then I'll open it up for any other questions we may have. So write and be happy. I stole this title from His Holiness Krishna Kshetra Maharaj, who did this seminar some years ago. I really liked it because we hear about chant and be happy. But write and be happy is also a beautiful line because it is in line with our sampradaya, our tradition, our teachers who in the Gaudiya line were all prolific writers. Here, Srila Prabhupada says, one should write to purify oneself. Writing is a means of purification. One should write to purify oneself, not for credit. It may or may not be published, but one who is actually sincere in writing, all his ambitions will be fulfilled. So, writing is something that all of us can do. Believe me, from the onset, I want to share with each one of you that writing doesn't require amazing ability, amazing language skills. It doesn't require you to be of a special tattva or category. Anyone can do it. And it's one of the most profound experiences of connection with Krishna. It's a yoga, the yoga of writing. And that's what I want to try and share with all of you today. We are the sampradaya of the pen. Throughout our tradition, all of our teachers were always writing. And of course, it began with Vyasadeva, who saw that Kali Yuga was approaching and people's memories were declining and their anartas were growing. And he realized that I have to compile all the Vedic literatures. So he compiled so many books, hundreds and thousands of verses of wisdom, apara vidya, knowledge about the material world and how to function here, para vidya, knowledge about what's beyond this world. And after all of that writing, he still wasn't satisfied. And then finally, Narad Muni came to him and said, "You're not satisfied because you haven't brought out the essence." So then what did he do? He edited and compiled the beautiful narrations of the Lord. Sarva Vedanta Saramhi Srimad Bhagavatam Ishate Tadrasamrita Triptasya Nanyatrasya Dratikvachit. Sarva Vedanta Saram, he compiled a book which was considered the essence of all the Vedanta, Srimad Bhagavatam Ishyate. That book became famously known as Srimad Bhagavatam. And Tadrasamrita Triptasya, for that person who has learned to relish these writings of Vyasadeva, Na anyatra syad rati kvachit, their attraction will never go anywhere else because these words are full of relish. And so Vyasadeva was that person who began the tradition of writing and putting things down in writing. And then we see throughout the ages, all of our teachers were writing. We see the Goswamis here. They are glorified by Srinivasacharya. Nana Shastra Vichara Neko Nipuno Sadharma Samstapako Lokanam Hitakarino Tribhuvane Manyo Sharanyakaro. Nana Shastra Vichara. They studied all the books. And what did they do? They took all the books and they extracted Saddharma, the essential dharma of the living entity. And they wrote that down and they presented it, Lokanam Hitakarino, for the benefit of the whole world. They presented the teachings of Krishna consciousness in writing. So the Goswamis were prolific writers. And their writing was of such variety, isn't it? The Goswamis wrote philosophical books. For example, Jiva Goswami writes the Satsandarbhas, which in these six books covers Sambandha, Abhideya, Prayojana, and the essence of all Vedic philosophy. Jiva Goswami is known as the greatest philosopher in all of India in all time. Such a prolific writer of deep, deep philosophy they were. But they didn't just write philosophical books. They took the Shastras and they wrote commentaries, tikas on the Shastra. So for example, Sanatan Goswami writes a commentary on the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam called Brihat Vaishnav Doshini. Or Jiva Goswami writes a commentary on the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam known as Gopal Champu. And in his visualization and realization, he brings out extra elements of Krishna's pastimes that were not previously revealed to the world. So the Goswamis don't just write their own books of philosophy, but they also write commentaries. But not only do they write commentaries, they write Rasa Shastra. Rasa, Srila Prabhupada explains, is what everyone's looking for. Relationship, taste, mellow, relish. And so perhaps the most prolific of the writers on Rasa Shastra is the head of the Goswamis, Rupa Goswami, who is known as the Rasa Acharya. And his most famous book, as we all know, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the ocean of the nectar of devotion. He also writes books like Ujjval Nilamani, in which he brings out the amazing interactions between Krishna and his devotees and how rasa is churned in different ways, stimulated, exhibited in these divine interactions. So this is very beautiful writing. Not just that, but the Goswami, can you see like the variety of what the Goswamis are writing? Not just that, but they write manuals, they write guidebooks. For example, Sanatan Goswami, Gopal Bhatta Goswami, there's some debate over who wrote it. But for example, we have books like the Hari Bhakti Vilas. And the Hari Bhakti Vilas contains all the rules and regulations of how Vaishnavas should practice their life. Or for example, Jiva Goswami, he writes Hari Namamrita Vyakarana, which is a manual on Sanskrit grammar. But it's not just any manual on Sanskrit grammar. It's a manual which teaches you Sanskrit grammar through the nectar of the holy name. Now that is amazing. Imagine you could open a school where you could teach all the subjects through the holy name. That would be amazing. So they also write manuals. Not just that, but they write poetry and song. I wish I could show you today, but we don't have time. But I would love to show you something written by Rupa Goswami called Chitra Kavitvani. I don't know how many of you know this, but he writes a book which is picture poetry. It's poetic verses which describe rasa and tattva, but it's all done in a visual picture format. If you hear about this, will blow your mind. One day I want to come back and I'll do this with you. But they write this amazing poetry as well. Such a Kaviraj, they were just the king of poets. He said one of the 26 qualities of a devotee is that they are poetic. So the Goswamis were also poets. And not only that, they write pastimes and stories, isn't it? For example, Raghunath Das Goswami writes Dan Keli Kaumudi, which is all about the pastime of Krishna acting as the toll collector in Govardhan. When the gopis come and they want to go past, and Krishna and the gopis said, how you go first, you have to pay toll, and then you can go, and the loving interactions that take place. Or for example, Raghunath Das Goswami writes another book called Mukta Charita. The day when Krishna found out about pearls, he saw the gopis stringing pearls and he asked, I want some pearls for my cows. And they said, no, we're not going to give you any pearls for your cows. These are expensive pearls. And Krishna said, if you're not going to give me pearls, then you know what? I'm going to plant my own pearls. And the gopis began laughing, saying, you know where pearls are found. You don't plant them in the ground. Krishna said, I'll do it. And in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj, Krishna planted pearls. And the next day in Nanda Maharaj's courtyard, those pearls had grown into beautiful trees of many, many more pearls. So there, Raghunath Das Goswami writes his illuminations and reflections and commentations on Krishna's beautiful pastimes. So can you see here how much of prolific writers the Goswamis were? If you want to see here on the right, this is the actual writing of Rupa Goswami, Jiva Goswami. Rupa Goswami is just as beautiful. Kaviraj Goswami says the writings of the Goswamis, they were like a rose of pearls. Yeah. And for those of you kids on the call, you can see like, they could not use Tippex, or they couldn't rub it out if they made a mistake. Once they wrote, they wrote. That was it. And they never made any mistakes. They were so clear in their writing. Not just that. Shall I tell you an amazing thing? Jiva Goswami and the other Goswamis, they were writing. But because they were writing with ink, they would write so fast. But then they couldn't turn the page because the ink was still wet. So you know what they would do? They would write page number one, but they couldn't write page number two, but their mind would be coming up with so many ideas. So what they would do is they would write page number three. And then when page number one had dried, then they would turn it around and write page number two. That was how they were writing. You know how Jiva Goswami was writing his commentaries? Rupa and Sanatan were such amazing writers, but they were humble as well. They said, Jiva, we understand you are great. You edit our works. So you know what Jiva Goswami used to do? He would have Rupa Goswami's manuscript of a commentary on Shastra on one side. He would have the Shastra on another side. And then in the middle, he would have a blank piece of palm leaf. And you know what he would do? He would read Rupa Goswami's writing, cross-reference it with the Shastra, edit Rupa Goswami's writing, and at the same time, on the blank palm leaf, he would write his own commentary on what he was reading, all in one go. These were amazing. Sometimes we have to write a Vyasa Puja offering, isn't it? The right one Vyasa Puja offering, we have to rack our brains for 3 weeks to try to come up with something. These were the Goswamis who were having such a transcendental flow of thought. And later on, I want to share with you that writing is something which helps you to develop your transcendental flow of thought. Because sometimes when you sit down and write, you think, oh my God, I'm so shallow. I don't have anything substantial to say. I don't have any realizations. But when you go through the process, writing helps you to dig deeper and explore deeper. And you'll find that within yourself, there are many realizations, but you just have to find them. And writing is a beautiful way to do it. Okay? So the Goswamis, we are followers of the Goswamis. We are Rupanuga Bhaktas. So this is the Sampradaya of the pen. Here is Bhaktivinoda Thakur, another prolific writer. You know what age Bhaktivinoda Thakur started writing? I'm looking at all of you on the call, those of you that have your videos on, and I'm seeing a lot of young faces. Does anyone know what age Bhaktivinoda Thakur started writing books? Bridge says 5. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he knew many languages actually, Urdu, Persian, Sanskrit, Bengali. Sumitra Kirtia saying 6, David saying 5. Actually, Bhaktivinoda Thakur began writing books at age 12. I mean books, I'm not just talking articles, I'm talking books. He started writing books at age 12. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, throughout most of his life, he maintained the schedule of spending at least 2 or 3 hours a day writing. By the end of his life, Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote over 100 books. Just sit down and think about that for a second. 100 books. How deep must someone's consciousness be in order to write 100 books? It's amazing. And here, I want to read to you something amazing from Bhaktivinoda Thakur's essay entitled The Bhagavad, Its Philosophy, Ethics, and Theology. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Most readers are mere repository of facts and statements made by other people. We read so much, we hear from so much, but Bhaktivinoda Thakur is criticizing that we should not just be a repository of other people's words. He says, this is not study. The student is to read the facts with a view to create and not with the object of fruitless retention. Students, like satellites, should reflect whatever light they receive from authors and not imprison the facts and thoughts, just as magistrates imprison the convicts in jail. So that means, the reason I'm telling you this is because sometimes there's a misconception that Prabhupada wrote all the books. Prabhupada has written, one time someone came to me and he said, who do you think you are? I said, oh my God, did I do something wrong? He said, Prabhupada has written all the books. Why are you writing? What do you think people will get from your books? I said, my books, they're not my books, first of all. It's whatever I gathered from the Bhagavad. But these books are to take people to Prabhupada's books. It's not a competition. It's not a one-upmanship. We are worshippers of Prabhupada's books. But we're not just meant to be librarians who point to the books and say, read those books, read those books. But we're meant to be living theologies who are able to communicate Prabhupada's books in words that people can understand, so that when people hear what we say, they ask us, where did you get that information from? And with a smile on our face, we can say, you want to know where to go? Go to those books, because that is where you'll get all the information. We don't want to just point people to Prabhupada's books We want to inspire people to go to Prabhupada's books because we want to demonstrate to the world that when you read these books, you can actually develop realizations and understandings of the world that can blow people's minds. Not because we're great, but because we're taking a wonderful body of knowledge and expressing that from the heart with conviction and with genuine realization. So dear devotees, let us be satellites which reflect the light of Prabhupada's books and not just magistrates who imprison that knowledge within us, not caring to share it, neither doing it in a creative way that will meet the needs of the people who so much need this knowledge. This is Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And then, of course, what needs to be said about Srila Prabhupada, the most prolific writer, can we say maybe the modern day Vyasadeva, who just took all of that knowledge and made it accessible to us who don't know Sanskrit, to us that don't know all these ancient treasure houses of knowledge. He just made it accessible, not just that, but he made it relevant through his Bhaktivedanta purports. And not just that, but he made it practical. He actually showed us how to live it. Thank you, yes. Srila Prabhupada said, I think it's safe to say, sorry, someone's just writing on the screen. Maybe it's not the best. Can write, if it was my picture, it's okay, but maybe not on Prabhupada, it's not the best. I personally feel that if we look at Prabhupada's life, writing was his most important project. It's the project that he spent the most amount of time on. It's the project that he did from day one of his mission till the final day in Vrindavan. Writing was the project that Prabhupada gave the best time and the most valuable time of the day to. And writing was a project that was given to Srila Prabhupada directly by a spiritual master as the key to spreading Krishna consciousness over the world. We are a sampradaya of the pen. But someone may say it's all been done. All the great teachers have written. But now let me share with you. When Prabhupada came to America in 1965, he famously said, "Don't be dull. Write something. 2 lines, 3 lines, whatever you can do. Write your realization on Krishna consciousness." And from day one, Srila Prabhupada had his devotees writing Krishna conscious articles. Here you see, can you see this at the bottom? Howard Wheeler. Does anyone know who Howard Wheeler is? Howard Wheeler became
Hayagriva Prabhu.
Yes, thank you so much. Hayagriva. I think if I'm not mistaken, he was an English professor. Maybe
at OSU, Ohio OSU. State, here in Columbus.
Oh, here in Columbus. All right. You all are well familiar then. Yeah, so this is amazing. Prabhupada said, "Let us publish Back to Godhead. One article, my spiritual master. One article, me. And one article, all of you." That's amazing. From day one, Srila Prabhupada just brought the devotees up and said, everyone has some realization. And he allowed them to write beside the acharyas of the sampradaya to be published in the same magazine as the acharyas of the sampradaya, because Prabhupada said, don't be dull, write something. So if anyone in this move or anyone ever tells you that we shouldn't write, we don't need to write, everything's been written, then with a straw between our teeth, with the humblest approach, we can say, actually, we are the sampradaya of the pen, and the pen is always moving because that's the desire of the acharyas. And thankfully, the pen does keep moving, and Back to Godhead keeps going. You can see there are so many beautiful issues here showing how Back to Godhead has evolved. Okay, so here it is. I've just given you like a very basic introduction to writing. Today, I'm not giving a seminar on writing in full, but I'm going to share with you something about journaling, which is a very, very specific type of writing. And I'm not looking at the chat, but yeah, there are comments there and I'll come back to it. And if you have any questions, just comments, put it in the chat. I'm not looking at it right now, but I'll come back to it later on. And I really appreciate your participation. I can see there are many writers on this call, so please add in your realizations. Dear devotees, today I want to talk to you about journaling, something that's very dear to my heart. There are two purposes of writing, broadly speaking. One purpose of writing is to express your thoughts, to the world, to express your thoughts to the conditioned souls, to express your thoughts to inspire other devotees, to express your thoughts in regards to issues of the day so that Krishna consciousness has a voice. One of the purposes of writing is to express your thoughts. But you know, there's another major aspect of writing that many people are not aware of. And that is that writing is not just a means to express your thoughts, but also a means to discover your thoughts. Did you ever think about that? Words are not just a way to express, but words are also a way to discover. And through writing, one can actually much better understand their inner world, much better understand the emotions, the anartas, the strengths, the hopes, the desires, the fears that we have within us. And as you write more and more, you begin to explore and discover your inner world and understand who you are, who you really want to be. I'm going to share with you something from the biography of Thomas Merton. Thomas Merton was a Catholic monk. When I became a monk, then I was always interested in monks. They fascinated me. So I didn't only look at our Vaishnava monks, but I also looked at monks from many different traditions. So Thomas Merton was a famous monk. He was a Trappist monk, North American. And this is what someone wrote in his biography about Thomas Merton, who was a very introspective person. He wrote many, many things, but this is what his biographer wrote. His most vital writing is private. Yeah, his most vital writing is private. What he did for himself, because he made constant notes to help clarify things for himself. He thought and sought to express experience on paper as a self-guide rather than to reveal anything. He was writing not to reveal anything to the world, but he was writing as a self-guide. He sought to get rid of the role, to flee the role of the monk in order to become the monk. I could kind of relate to this, you know. There's a role of the monk and we live up to the role of the monk. But he thought, you know what? I got a light. I got to look inside myself. I got to not just be playing the role of the monk. I got to become the monk. Maybe we're playing the role of the devotee, but we have to become the devotee. This is powerful. His writing was to be and not merely to appear to be. You see, at the end of the day, we want to be the real thing. We want to be a real devotee of Krishna. Prabhupada used to quote the Bengali proverb, bhajana kara, sadhana kara, murtye janle hoy. All your bhajan, all your sadhan, all your spiritual practice, at the time of death, that will be revealed. Recently, I had the opportunity to serve two devotees who were leaving the world, terminal illness, and they both left the world gloriously. And one of my friends, Janaki Nath Prabhu, many of the devotees here on the call are from the UK, they know, young devotee, 36 years old, contacted cancer. Next week, we will go to Mayapur to disperse his ashes in the Ganga. It was a glorious life. And in his final days, I saw him speaking to others. And I saw people had become enchanted by him. Because they, when they saw him and his expression of Krishna consciousness, they realized whatever this person is saying is realization. Because when you're that close to death, when you're 7 days away from death, when you're a few weeks away from death, you can't be fake. You can't just pretend. Whatever it is, that will come out. And therefore, he was really someone who didn't just live the role of the monk, but he became the monk. And that's what we want to do. We want to be and not just merely appear to be. And then Merton ends by, or the biographer of Merton ends by saying, these are great and profound differences which few perceive, even in the religious life. Your sincerity, your genuineness, and your authenticity in spiritual life, it may or may not be perceived by many people. Many people aren't even tuned in to understand these subtleties of how someone lives. But that is the essence of Krishna consciousness. It's much easier to put effort and attention into all the things in Krishna consciousness that people will applaud you for, give you a Hari Bowl for, put your name in a magazine for, everything that will help to boost your esteem in the immediate sense. But people may not that much appreciate all the internal work that you do that brings about an authenticity and genuineness. Eventually they will, but that is the essence of Krishna consciousness. So I like this very much. And I use this regularly to remind myself that no, we must become introspective. Just want to also share with you that journaling acts as a dialogue between two selves. We have a soul and we are the soul and we have intelligence. And then we have the mind, senses, and all the impulses of the outer world. And what happens is often the soul and the intelligence once has a certain vision of life, and the mind, senses, and the outer world often has a different vision of life. You may have experienced some mind intelligence dialogues going on in your daily life. So there's a reflective self and an impulsive self. And you know what journaling does? It's so powerful, because what it does is it helps you to step away and become the mediator between those two selves. And it helps you to say, oh yeah, okay, this is what my impulsive self is saying. This is what my reflective self is saying. How can I actually deal with these two aspects of life and help them to dialogue in such a way that will be progressive for myself? And so it's a powerful thing. And so today what I'm sharing with you is a very, very specific type of writing, a type of writing which is not for the world, a type of writing which is very much about going deeper in Krishna consciousness, a type of writing that will help us to become the real thing. And I think that that is such a powerful tool at our disposal. And that's why I want to share it with you today. Prabhupada said, a devotee is as thoughtful as a non-devotee is speculative. We need to become very thoughtful as devotees. If we're constantly meditating on the past, then we're in ignorance. If we're constantly meditating on the future, then we're in the mode of passion. But when we live in the present, but at the same time, we learn from the past and we plan for the future, then we're really living in goodness. So there's no problem with looking forward. There's no problem with looking back. In fact, we have to look forward and we have to look back, but we have to live now. And what I want to share with you is that journaling is one way by which you can live in the present, but a tool by which you can learn from the past, learn from what has happened, and plan for the future. We look back in our life in a journal, not to lament, but to learn. We look back in the journal, not to regret, but to refine. We look back in the journal, not to escape the world, but to empower our journey going forward. And so we have to become very, very introspective. Prabhupada said, a devotee is as thoughtful, as introspective, as a non-devotee is speculative. Let me just ask you, maybe you can put your thought on the chat. What do you think is the difference between introspection and speculation? How do you know? Because this is one reason why devotees don't journal. This is one reason why devotees don't engage in thinking, because they think like, no, we're going to go on the mental platform. We're going to go into speculation. So if I was to ask you, Prabhupada said, a devotee is as introspective as a non-devotee is speculative. Does anyone have any thoughts on what is the difference between introspection and speculation? Okay, so Mamte is saying introspection is reflection. Prerna is saying introspection is innermost. Okay, I want you to contrast it with speculation. How can you ensure that introspection doesn't become speculation? Introspection is in a mood of surrender. Speculation. Okay, there's a lot coming through now. Introspection is using the knowledge we've acquired to understand how we act. Okay. Thank you. Yeah, keep sending in your thoughts. And everyone else, you can look at the chat and see what everyone is coming up with. Premasindhu Prabhu, speculation has no confines, no shastra. It's just imagination. Very good. Yes, Sonu is saying a similar thing. Dharmendra is saying looking within, whereas we consider others' views. Introspection is looking within, speculation is outer. Yeah, these are all nice thoughts. Here's some ways in which you can understand whether you're introspecting or whether you're speculating. Yeah, by all means, keep your comments coming through. Introspection is with relation to Shastra. When you write in a journal, you're not just writing, I think. You're seeing things, but you're referencing it within the world of Shastra, within the words of the Acharyas. In other words, it's not just mental baggage, but it's being seen through Shastra Chakshush, the vision of Shastra, whereas speculation is when it's just the stream of your own mind and perceptions. So journaling is also a great way to look at how Shastra and the knowledge of Shastra is playing out in real life, because you should always reference your thoughts. Introspection has tangible outcomes. Introspection is not just like, okay, I'm going to journal, I'm just write pages and pages and pages, and then nothing happens. I mean, of all that journaling, finally something should come out of it. You know, you should come out of your journal and say, you know what, tomorrow I'm going to do this. And then at the end of tomorrow, you come back to your journal and you say, you know what, I tried that, but it didn't work. But you know what, tomorrow I'm going to do that. And it's always active. It's always being applied, where speculation is just in the mind. Oh, I think this. And then the next day, well, maybe it's like that. Maybe it's like that. And then the next day, well, maybe it could be like that. No, that's not progressive. Okay? Introspection is always to do with building a relationship with Krishna. I think someone said surrender to Krishna. Yeah. Introspection is always, how can I move in that direction? Move with Krishna. Whereas speculation is always self, it's just about me. It's not that I'm trying to move, it's just all about me. But introspection is, how does this play out in my relationship with Krishna? In other words, it has a transcendental objective. This is really important. Introspection is accompanied by consultation. I don't want anyone on the call today to get the idea that now I'm journaling and I'm figuring out my internal world. Therefore, all the other devotees, I don't need them anymore. It's just I'm doing it through journaling. No. Introspection is always accompanied by consultation. So you take your thoughts, you take your things that you've learned and or discovered, and you take them to devotees and discuss. Speculation is just doing it, trying to do it all yourself, just again in your own mind, in your own life. Yeah. And finally, you'll know it's introspection because it's progressive and empowering. If you're actually introspecting, if you're actually doing the four things above this fifth thing, then it will be progressive and empowering. And if you do the four things in the speculative column, then ultimately it will be negative and limiting. That's the reality. And that's how you know that introspection is what you're doing and not speculation. So sometimes people, when we tell people don't speculate, sometimes people think that means you don't think. No speculation equals no thinking. No, sorry guys, that's not the formula. No speculation doesn't mean no thinking. There is a way in which you can think, which is introspective and not speculative. So, yes, because that is a way of studying, isn't it? Studying means shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam. Yeah, shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam. Not shravanam, katanam, pastanam. Okay, not shravanam, cutting and then pasting it and just like without thinking about it. No, mananam, thinking. But thinking doesn't mean speculation. Thinking means introspection. Okay. Anyway, I'm telling you all know this. I don't want to be sound patronizing. Hare Krishna. Okay. Do we have examples of devotees journaling? Dear devotees, we wouldn't have the Chaitanya Charitamrita if there were no journaling. Because where did Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami get all of his information from Chaitanya Charitamrita from? He got them from Adachas, exactly. He got them from diaries. He got them from what we would call in modern day terminology a journal. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was younger, then Murari Gupta was writing a journal, a diary, a kadacha. And that's how Kaviraj Goswami got the information for the Adi Leela. And later on, Swarup Damodar wrote a journal because he was with Mahaprabhu as the private secretary, the personal secretary. And therefore, so much of the information of the Madhya and Antya Leelas comes from the diaries of Swarup Damodar. So devotees were always journaling, Prabhupada journaled. Why such an amazing diary is in it? Prabhupada's diary on the Jaladuta, his journal. Today the ship is flying very smoothly. Today I feel separation from my Lord, Sri Govinda, Gopinath, Radha Damodar. I'm so far away from Vrindavan. On this ship going to America, my only solace is in the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Prabhupada was writing his heart. Today he was Janmashtami, he wrote, isn't it? Today in Vrindavan, there is a great festival going on for Krishna's birthday. And here today I am on the ship. But no worries, we had a small celebration on the ship with the captain and the crew members. Prabhupada was writing his journal. So nice, isn't it? And then Prabhupada also wrote another diary. You can see this. This is called the New York Journal. You see this here? This is the handwriting of Prabhupada from his 1966 New York Journal, explaining the first days in New York, what he did, who he met, the struggles he was going through, the experiences he had, the money that he spent. Prabhupada was writing, I spent this many cents and this many. The journey of Prabhupada, he was so deep. Prabhupada was so deep, isn't it? Prabhupada writes, Bhakti Nahi, Bedi Nahi, Khub Naam Daro Krishna. I have no devotion, I have no knowledge, but I have strong faith in the holy name. Prabhupada was so heartfelt in his expressions. And if you read these diaries, then he was really doing that. So I'm just trying to build this up to share with you why, number one, writing is important. But number two, writing is not just a way to express thoughts, but to discover thoughts. And we should become introspective. And one of the most powerful ways to become introspective is by writing a journal. And why is a journal so powerful? Because a journal is a place in which you can be honest. You know, in Kali Yuga, there's only one leg of religion which is standing. And you know what that is, right? It's not austerity. It's not cleanliness. It's not mercy, although there may be traces of these things. The one leg remaining in Kali Yuga, yes, I think someone has probably put it, Rukrama Prabhu says, is truthfulness. There is no purity without honesty. And you know, sometimes it's difficult to be honest in life because there's so much within us that we would never want to reveal to the world. One devotee told me, my mind during japa time is like a horror movie. Right? What goes through our minds? What thoughts? What about our past? What about skeletons in the closet? What about behind that beautiful Vaishnava appearance of tilak and clothes? What's going on inside? What about when that devotee turns up at your home and you really didn't want anyone to come and you said, yes, Guru, please come in. And in your mind, you're saying, why did this person turn up now? There's all these things going on within us and we don't want to be truthful. We don't want to be honest. It's difficult. Sometimes we say you have to be honest with devotees, but it takes time to develop relationships with devotees where you can be honest, and we have to find those relationships. But shall I share with you one place you can be honest fully without any fear of being judged, without any fear of being defamed without any fear that in some way it will bring you down. The one place where you can do that is a journal. It's a place where you can be completely honest. You can say, like, yes, I am envious. I am angry. I did make this mistake. Despite me defending myself like anything, you know what? I made a mistake. And you can just be honest. Later on, I'll show you, but sometimes you need to create a safe space for your journal. I personally, the best is if you can write. You see, writing on paper, you can't beat it. But like 20 years ago, when I began my journal, I made a calculated decision not to write on paper. Because I was scared that in the future, someone may find all these books. And then, I don't know, like, what could happen? You know, maybe someone will publish it and it will go on the internet or something. So I made a calculated decision to journal on my computer in a password protected document. So that's what I do. And you need to create a safe environment where you can be completely honest, right? This is one of the most powerful things about journaling. And in the journaling, you're writing what is inspiring you, what's interesting you, what was interesting to you, what's scaring you. Through a journal, you clarify your thoughts. You know what I often say? When I write and I edit my words in my journal, I feel that while I'm editing my words, I'm editing my own consciousness. Because it's like your mind is here and then it's like, boom, your mind is there in front of you. And you're like, no, that doesn't make that, doesn't it? And you edit it and you edit it. And then you come back and you're like, oh, wow, it feels edited up here as well. So it clarifies your thoughts. And what it does is it solidifies your realizations. You know, sitting within each one of us, dormantly, there are many, many realizations. But we're not able to find a space in which to express and explore those realizations because we think, like, I can't sit on a Vyasasana and start speaking about all my realizations because I don't know, like, I haven't quite solidified them. So you know what you do? In a journal, you begin to explore your realizations and you know what? You begin solidifying it. Not that I have any many realizations, but whatever I share in classes, often it's already been solidified in the journal. Because what that journal does is it gives me a time to look, oh, this is my real, let me develop it more, let me understand it, let me refine it, and then I can express it and share it with the world. So it's also a place where you can solidify your realizations. Am I going to sit here today and tell you how to write a journal? I don't think I can do that because everyone will do it in their own way. Everyone has their own style and you have to experiment. His Holiness Bhaktitirtha Maharaj at one point, I'm sure very early on in his spiritual life, he was always very introspective. He was waking up at 2 o'clock every day, eating once a day, 42 rounds a day, very like incredible personality. But you know one thing he used to do? It's written in his biography. Every day he used to write a letter to Prabhupada. He used to write a letter to Srila Prabhupada. He didn't send those letters. Maybe he sent a few of them. But every day he would write a letter to Srila Prabhupada. And that was his form of journaling. So maybe your journal can be a letter to your spiritual teacher, to Srila Prabhupada, to Krishna, to Gauranga, to Rupa Goswami. That could be one way to do a journal. I'm just going to show you the four elements that I use when I journal and what I include. When I journal, what I try to capture in those words are my observations of the day. Okay? Observations of the day means what lessons did I learn today? What interactions did I have with other devotees? What interactions did I have with people? What did I hear? What did I see? What did I learn? How did the day go? What patterns of behavior did I notice? Observations of the day. Very, very powerful. What events happened? We have to make sure that the journal doesn't just become a list of events. Like, okay, 20th February 2022. And at 4 p.m., I logged on to the class. No one was there. So I realized I had this wrong Zoom link. So I went. Okay, so that's nice. You can give a little bit of details of what happened. But it has to go a little bit deeper than just a log of events. Okay. But observations of the day are important. What were your observations of yourself, your lifestyle, your character, your attitude, your relationships with others? It doesn't, this is another thing, it doesn't always have to be bad things. Right? We often get like this, like in my journal, I'm just, it's kind of like, so it's confession time, confession booth. Yeah, that's part of it. Can you also write about your successes? The things you did well, the things that did go right, the things of transformation that you did see in yourself, the things that give you faith that Krishna consciousness is working. We can write down our observations of ourselves. What were your observations of the world around you? I experienced this in the temple. I experienced this at work. I experienced this on the underground trains. I experienced how people are so much affected by this. And this happened to someone I know. And from observing them, I could learn these lessons. So many things are happening every single day. So much we can learn from the people around us and the events around us. Remember, nothing in your life happens by chance. Everything is happening because Krishna wants you to learn the lesson. So the journal becomes a way in which you can begin decoding the lessons that Krishna is trying to teach you. And what about if you could write your observations of Krishna? One devotee said it very nicely. He was asked in a class once, have you ever seen Krishna? And he said, you know, I've never seen Krishna's face, but I see Krishna's hand every single day. Imagine if at the end of the day, you could sit down and you can say, Krishna's hand. That was Krishna's arrangement. That was Krishna's lesson. That was Krishna's plan for my life. That was Krishna's message to me. Journaling becomes a way in which we can decode how Krishna is alive. Krishna is active. And Krishna is attentive to what's going on. And so when I sit down to journal, these are the kind of broad categories that I try to incorporate in whatever I share. Okay. So is everyone doing okay? How long have I gone? 5:20. That means I've been speaking for an hour, is it?
Yes, Prabhu.
Mitra, how are we doing for time? There's one more thing I want to show you, and then I was going to open it up. we were supposed to finish at 5:30.
Yeah, please go ahead, Prabhu. I take full responsibility for the Zoom link. I'm not sure what happened. So, but please complete whatever you wanted to share. It's okay if we go over.
Okay. Thank you very much. So I'm going to do something now that I've never done in my whole Krishna conscious career. Today is a first. So I beg for your blessings. 20 years ago, I began a journal. I think it's really helped me in my life. At the risk of, I don't want to self-promote myself or any of this kind of stuff, but just to make this whole session more real, what I thought to do is share some of my journal with you. I have edited out all the gory details of the inner demons that you would never want to encounter. But I thought to share that with you, just to give you a sense of where I'm coming from, and maybe you can give me some feedback how to improve. So please, devotees, don't see this as me promoting myself. I'm not. I'm a sadhaka. I'm less than a sadhaka. But I think it will be nice, because I think journaling is all about being real. So I'm going to try and be real with you now. What I often do is I sit in the evening. I have 20 years of journals now. It's on a document in my computer, password protected, as I said. I know there are devotees like Brijesh on the call, who's like a computer whiz kid. He could probably hack into my diary, so I've got to be careful. But what I often do in the evening is, like, say, for example, today is the 20th of Feb, 2022. So what I often do is I go into my journal and I go, what did I write on the 20th of Feb, 5 years ago? What did I write in my journal on the 20th of Feb, 10 years ago? What did I write on the 20th of Feb, 20 years ago? And it's very revealing. I mean, it's very, very inspiring. Sometimes it can be a little disconcerting as well, but it definitely gives you a sense of how you need to move forward. So what I thought is I'll share with you the bits of my journal of what I wrote on this day, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, and 20 years ago, just to give you a sense of how journaling could help you and what kind of things. Stay 5 years ago, yeah. 5 years from now, I'll be looking. I was like, oh my God, and I did that on that ISKCON Columbus program, and it all went haywire, and I learned from that I should never do it again. So yeah, that's what I'm going to do with you. I'm going to show you, yeah. So it's nothing special. It's on a Word document, and here we go. This is my diary. This is my journal. I try to write something every day, but not always it comes out every day, So here you can see, if you look here, right in the bottom left corner, it's about 400 pages now. It's in a small font, font 8, so it's quite a lot of writing on each page. It's about 350,000 words. I don't know how much that is. Maybe that's like 5 volumes of the Bhagavad Gita or something like that, it would be, maybe less. And what I do is I just write these things, my observations of the world, my observations of others, my observations of life. So here it is. This is what I wrote 20 years ago this day. I wasn't a monk. I was about to become a monk. So here... I'll just show you. I mean, this is not, it's just random. I'm just sharing it with you. I'm just reading it now. I was speaking to so-and-so, that's one of my friend's names. As usual, he wants to start his own business. I think if he ever does get into it, he will be fairly successful. From a personal point of view, I find it very hard to see myself working in the corporate world. So that was good. That was a good hunch. I never did get into the corporate world. I've never felt comfortable within that environment. Hopefully, if I ever do have to work, then I will have the chance to do so with devotees. Thoughts of Bombay are the major thing on my mind. I pray I will have the will to go. So basically, 20 years ago, I was about to finish university, and I was thinking of going to Mumbai Chowpatty to stay in the temple there and begin my adventure as a monastic. But naturally, there was friction with the family, you know, so it was getting a little heavy. Okay, here we go, second paragraph. I have to get more constant with my Srimad Bhagavatam reading. It has been 3 weeks since I've read Bhagavatam. Having exams is not really an excuse. Kids, that's a lesson for you. If I can find time to chill out for half an hour in front of the TV, then why is it so hard to find time to read for half an hour? I guess it all just comes down to the fact that I want to do one and not the other. It's so unfortunate that after nearly 3 years in Krishna consciousness, I'd been chanting for about 3 years by this time, I'm still not making these changes. So the reason I'm sharing this with you is because what happens is that when you write a journal, it's almost like you become transported into your identity at that time. You see, like when I read this, I'm not just reading events, but in my mind, I'm like, this is the Sutapa, 20 years old. At that time, I was Sandeep. I wasn't Sutapa. And what happens is you immediately begin to compare two people. And I immediately begin to think like, oh my God, like, how have I changed? Because you're kind of, you have a contrast here. So a diary doesn't just remind you of events. It doesn't just remind you of realizations. But what it reminds you of is a persona of a person that you've evolved from. Otherwise, how do you know how you're evolving as a person? So it's very powerful. Anyway, and then I write this whole thing about humility, something that I had heard from Radhana Swami. I think he was at the manor at that time and he had been giving a class. So sometimes this is also what I write in my diary, just something that someone said in a class and then just unpacking that and seeing what, because, you know, Radhanath Maharaj, one of his main themes is humility. So it really struck a chord with me. And then I began to think about how that humility relates to me. And then sometimes I would also do things like this. I would write down, you know, how many rounds I chanted before eight, how many rounds after eight, all that kind of stuff. Reading, 0 minutes, what to do. Hare Krishna. So that was 20 years ago. So, you know, like I could sit down today and read this and it would bring about many realizations. And that would then feed my current diary entries. Okay, so I take you on to the next one. This was 20 years ago. Now I take you to 10 years ago, 10 years on. So that was when I was 20. This is when I was 30. In the kirtan at BNC today, things became a little more clear for me. I don't want to push anything artificially. From my conversation with Maharaj, that's my spiritual master, he knows that my main desire is to increase my sacrifice and absorption in service and that I am willing to leave the manor if he wants me to. So I was at this stage in my life where I was serving at the manor for 10 years and I was contemplating whether I should go to another place or not go to another place. Aside from that, my main thing now is to, one, pray intensely to Krishna that he'll give me more opportunities to make a sacrifice and dedicate myself fully to the mission of Prabhupada. Two, work on my purity and knowledge and continue on with the program of Krishna consciousness in a deeper and more significant way. I want to be focused on Krishna and Guru and let the plan slowly unfold as to where Krishna wants me to go and what he wants me to do in this life. The fact of the matter is that even if I don't go to Leicester, that's the place I was thinking of going, there is plenty I could be doing at the Manor to make a big sacrifice. So that was good. It was just helping me to calibrate events. This is another important part of a journal, that every day we're making decisions. You see, Arjuna was such a deep thinker. When he had to make the decision whether to fight or not, he wasn't just thinking about how it will affect him. He was thinking about how it's going to affect everyone. He wasn't just thinking about what's going to happen like 1 year after the Battle of Kurukshetra. He was thinking, what does this mean for generations to come? He was such a deep thinker when he was making a decision. And ultimately, he went to Krishna and really made a really good decision. But a journal is a great place to explore your decision making, because a lot of things can go wrong if you make the, you can make wrong decisions, bad decisions. So it's good to think it out here in an open space. Yeah, being on Harinam today was actually really ecstatic, just completely different. There is something special about going out and doing the frontline preaching, a special feeling, dependence, and connection with Prabhupada. So sometimes just writing a small event, somehow or other, I can remember this Harinam that I'm talking about. I've been on many Harinams, but because I wrote it down here, I can actually remember what Harinam I was talking about. And it's a beautiful memory. Devotional memories are very inspiring for the heart. And then these are some things that I heard, or maybe my spiritual master told me, or realizations I had. The first one, I have a short time with a fit body. Maybe age 30 to age 40, I can still go around and do something. What will I do with these 10 years of a fit body that Krishna has given me? So now I'm 40. And when I read back and look at this, I'm kind of like, what did I do in those 10 years? Did I actually do that much? Or could I have done more for Krishna? This is nice. BVS, I'm not quite sure who that is. Maybe that's Bhakti Vaibhav Swami. But it's obviously someone's realization. And they said, first, I used to think that surrender was going out at 100 miles per hour, but now I'm realizing it's something different. So there has to be sustainability surrender. So sometimes I pick up points like this. Anyway, so here, I'm just giving you a sense of the kind of things I do in my journal. Okay, here we go. This is the last one. I don't want to bore you anymore with my journal, but this is something I wrote 5 years ago. On this, around this time, 18th of Feb, I was in Sridhar Mayapur. Here we are in Sridhar Mayapur. Mahaprabhu has mercifully given us entrance again. I think while I'm here, I'll keep somewhat of a low profile. Not that I'm a big man. Anyway, this is the language of a journal. Mangalarti and Japa in the Samadhi, and then Darshan and class in the main temple. Outside of that, maybe skip breakfast and just keep a low profile reading and studying in the room. There is a task meeting at 10 a.m. tomorrow. And then, of course, the seminars begin on Saturday. So task, you may wonder what task is. Task is stands for the team for the assessment of sannyas candidates. So some years ago, my spiritual master encouraged me to go in that direction. And 5 years ago, I was in Sridhar Mayapur and I had a meeting with the kind of sannyas committee. And that's the, so it brings back a lot of memories of the journey that we've been going on. And I'll end with this point. I'll just read it. I hope I will be able to make the most of the overflowing mercy here. With regards to the meetings and other things, I'm just trying to be detached and see what Krishna's plan is. I'm trying my best to fulfill the desires of my spiritual master, and I'm relying on that. I don't know about the purity of my own desire and whether or not I'm ready for this, but my spiritual master has given an order and I don't want to hesitate. The safety and security that comes from that will trump everything else, I think. So I read that. I was like, wow, that was a nice realization that maybe the safest place is to act under the guidance and instructions of the Vaishnavas. And perhaps that's the safest thing, even when the Vaishnavas ask you to do something which is very lofty, which is very challenging. We can feel the safety because we know that safety is in following the desires and vision of the great teachers who know you better than yourself. And so I like that. And so that I'm showing you this because we have to live our life going forwards. But sometimes we can only understand our life looking backwards. And when I read sometimes things that I've written, it really helps me to appreciate how at every step of the way, unqualified as I am, Krishna was right there, moving things in a certain way. And it gives you so much faith. Oh my God, Krishna is there and he's moving it. And you can see it tangibly through introspecting on your journey. So these are some things I wanted to share with you today. Prabhupada, the most prolific writer, was right there in Radha Damodar, one of my favorite places in the entire creation. And Prabhupada writes, yes, it is a revolution. That is what I think as I write on and on. A revolution to change the entire course of human history. So Prabhupada's writing was writing which was revolutionary. It was creating a revolution in the lives of the misguided civilization. We may not have that kind of transcendental potency that Prabhupada had, but we can think, yes, it's a revolution. If I begin writing, exploring the inner world, discovering my own thoughts, then it will be a revolution of my own consciousness. And it may not change the entire course of human history, but it may well change the course of my future and my destiny in this life. And so we've been given a great opportunity by Srila Prabhupada to really perfect our lives. But it requires deep thoughtfulness. Krishna consciousness is not an automatic process. We used to think it was just chanting 16 rounds and following the principles and doing the marathon. And by all means, we should do that. And if we can do that till our final days, it would be wonderful. But along with that, we have to find Krishna. We have to live and walk with Prabhupada. And we have to try and develop the real substance of consciousness that Srila Prabhupada's books are meant to awaken within us. And that has to be a very conscious attempt. And today what I try to share with you is how journaling can be a wonderful way to do that. Thank you so much. Sorry I went over time. I understand many of you may have to drop from the call, so please, if you do, don't feel inhibited. And if we do have time, we can take maybe some reflections, maybe some questions if there are, or corrections or conflicts. Thank you. So Mitra Mataji, over to you.
Thank you, Prabhu. This was amazing. You started out with the precedent in our tradition, which although we've heard a lot, but we've never looked at it in the framework that you presented. And it was wonderful to see Srila Prabhupada's handwriting at his age, how impeccable it is. And then you ended with the mechanics of writing and really unpacked it for those who want to make a start and genuinely do not know where to start. And finally, it was very brave for you to share your own diary. So thank you very much. This was wonderful. I think many of us might have to go back and listen to the lecture two or three times to fully understand the import of what was shared today. So thank you. For those of you who have questions, please either raise your electronic hand. I cannot see visually if you raise, or put your question in the chat. I see Bridge Prabhu. If you could please unmute yourself.
Bridge, he's a hacker. Okay.
You gave me the document name too. Anyway, thank you, Prabhu, for the journaling session. It's really nice to get actually the way you journal. Because that's something I've actually missed. Like, I've listened to many other devotees sharing how they journal, and then seeing somebody who is quite close to me and seeing that your style of journaling. So that's really nice. The question I have is, say somebody's been journaling, or even they're quite new to journaling in general. Now, your focus with the session was very much about being very introspective and really digging deep. But for somebody who's just starting out journaling, or somebody who's maybe just off the session looking to start journaling, I feel like introspecting can be very difficult and probably even like a scary place to start off with. So what would your suggestions be? Like, would you actually go down the route of focusing on trying to be introspective, or I don't know, being writing consistently, or just getting thoughts down on paper, or like, I don't know if you had thoughts.
Yeah, thank you. This is a great question. And I'm just going to add a kind of footnote as I answer all of these questions, that I really am just sharing my opinions. And because this is a very personal thing, it may not relate to everyone. So don't take what I say now as gospel truth. I'm just sharing. I'm glad you raised this, because one thing when I'll share with you that out of those who begin writing, whether it's journaling, articles or anything, my guess is that probably 80% or more give up after trying it, whether it's a journal or an article. Because when you put pen to paper, you actually, and then you read what you've written, you just think like, oh my God, this is so embarrassing. Like, I don't have anything worthwhile to share with the world. I'm so shallow. I don't have any realization. And it can become very discouraging. But that's the challenge of writing. That what it does is it forces you. If you're sitting there, you can't just say like the same things every time. You have to now think deeper, explore deeper. So what I would say is, first, don't shy away from the what some people call writer's block, or the fact that you can't, you don't feel you're coming out with anything very Krishna conscious, because that's part of the challenge. But I agree with you that sometimes what you have to do is just begin. Like, maybe it is beginning by just writing what happened today and adding in some realization. Sometimes what you can do is have four or five questions that will help you to trigger some deeper thoughts. You know, so you can ask like, you can have four or five questions which may help. Like, you know, name one person that you observed today that really inspired you. Or can you name one lesson that you learned from an interaction that you had with someone else today? Can you say one thing that happened in the news today, or that you observed in the world around you, that taught you something that the Gita has already talked about? You know, like, you can have some questions which can trigger. And yeah, don't worry. Some days you will sit down and you'll write and you'll think, but that's part of it. We have to become thoughtful. We have to become deeper. And it's a process. It's a process. So, yeah, begin with what's comfortable, number one. Number two, maybe have some questions which trigger deeper thoughts. And number three, when it does get difficult and you feel like you want to give up, that's the time when you really need to go on, because that's the time when you start digging deeper and finding realizations you never knew were there, like that. I hope that helps.
Thank you, Prabhu. And maybe you should change your file name, because he did see the file name.
Oh, he saw the file name. Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
And some other Prabhu, Divyesh Prabhu, had his hand raised, but I don't see him anymore. Perhaps we can go to Mamta. Mamta Mataji, do you mind turning on your video as well?
Okay, I'll try. Okay. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, my dandavat pranams. After a long time of seeing you. Just this question, Prabhuji. So obviously, more about journaling, just even writing. People write autobiographies, write lots of things they write. But how do you control people who keep on speculating them? I know we can't control, but if you write anything, people can speculate on some things. So can you hear me, Prabhuji?
You mean how we can make sure our journaling doesn't become speculation?
Speculative, yes.
Yeah, that's why I gave you the table. So that when you're writing on that, if you go back and look at that table that I gave to you, then just make sure that your writing is following the qualities on the left-hand side. The writing should always... It should always incorporate Shastra. It should always incorporate the realizations of the Acharyas. It should always refer to transcendental knowledge. Your writing should be accompanied by consultation with others. Your writing should have tangible outcomes. Okay, you write today that I observed so many things. What are you going to do about it? How is it going to change your life? How is it going to adjust the way you approach things tomorrow? And then tomorrow you have to say, I tried this and this is what happened. So make sure it's tangible. So when you follow those things, it will never become speculation. It will become a tool to enhance.
So as long as we make the required changes on it, then it doesn't be okay.
Yeah. Look back at that table and just follow the left column. Yeah.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Sorry for duplication.
No, not at all. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mamta Mataji and Prabhu. I see it's either Manish or Mishika has raised their hand.
Yeah, thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna, Prabhu, for helping us realize that how important the journaling is in our life. So I would like to ask, like, you talk about the journaling, right, with respect to Krishna consciousness, how a reflection is. But if someone is like new to journaling, right, they might not have that much. And if you want to write journaling like for our life day-to-day period, like I work in corporate, right? So if I have to write journaling, what happens throughout my day? How was my work and what was my observations? Do you think should we go that route like in the beginning? Because it takes time to build up, right, writing in the right direction. It could be just some random thoughts coming during the day that we can just start writing. So is that the right way or should we just focus on our reflection on Krishna consciousness? Thank you, Prabhu.
Yeah, no, I thank you, Prabhu, for a very nice question. First thing is I would say journaling, it's not like there's a journal and there's things about Krishna consciousness and then there's my life. The whole idea of a journal is we want to bring those two worlds together. You went to work today. That's your life. But how did you see Krishna in your work today? Today you went on the subway to, you know, to meet someone. How did you meet Krishna on the subway? What did you observe that connect? So one thing I want to say is that that's the whole point of journaling. To help you to understand and see all aspects of your life through a spiritual vision. You can come back and maybe respond to a few of these things in a minute. I'll just say a few more things. The second thing I would say is you don't necessarily have to write every day. Don't put that pressure on yourself. You know, maybe you can say minimum I'll write once a week. And if I get extra inspiration to write, I'll write. Some days I write like 5 days in a row and then I may miss out 5 days. It depends also. So don't put a pressure, but at least once a week, check in. And then as you get more inspiration, you can write more. Third thing is I mentioned that try not to make your journal just a log of events. But I also said, don't worry. You can also write events are not bad, but as you said, you're going to work every day. It's like nine to five. So what are you going to write? Just the same thing every day? No. So you have to come up with something more. Like, and let me share this with you. As you begin writing and trying to consciously find Krishna in your day-to-day work, what will happen is that when you go and you're actually working, you will actually be more attentive to seeing Krishna. you know, what happens is when you, like when I began writing a blog, I found that I just became so much more attentive about life because I was always looking for something. What will I write about next? I have to think of something. And then I was always looking, where can I find lessons? Where can I find inspirations? So what will happen is that as you start writing, you will begin to find Krishna in your work. You'll begin to find Krishna in your family. You'll find Krishna everywhere because you'll be now looking for Krishna because your introspection and the power of introspection is increasing. Does that make sense, Prabhu?
Yes, Prabhu. Thanks a lot for that. Thank you.
Thank you, Prabhuji's.
Mitra, can I just share one thing with everyone? Because I forgot to share it. I just wanted to share something else with all of you that may also help you. I also began doing this about 15 or 17 years ago. But what I began doing is writing down all the amazing things that people said to me, that I heard, that I experienced. And then I categorized it under different things. So like sometimes we only keep a notebook in a Bhagavatam class, right? And then we take notes in a Bhagavatam class. But what I started realizing is that some of the most amazing teachings of the Bhagavatam don't always come in the Bhagavatam class. They come in life. They come in the conversations you have with people. They come in the things that you see day to day. So what I began doing is I began a document. I'll show you this. So I began this document. And what this document does is it basically documents like things that I heard, things that I saw, things that I discussed with a devotee. And you can see here on the bottom left-hand side, it's 500 pages now. And this is only one of about four documents like this. So I have thousands of pages of notes like this. It's not only class notes. It's notes of things that people have told me. So I give you an example. This also really helps when you have to give a class. Because say, for example, if Sumitra told me like, okay, Prabhu, can you give a class on anger? Then what I do is I press control find. And if I type in here anger, and see here, you get like 85 results. And what you can start doing is you start like finding realizations or things that you had on anger. So anyway, like this. So I just wanted to share this with you, that this is a beautiful tool that you can use in order to capture all the inspiration that comes to you. Because what I want to also share with you is that some of the best inspirations is not only in the classes, it's in life. And we need to try and capture that. So I just wanted to,
Wonderful, Prabhu. Thank you. That was very nice. Prabhu, I want to be mindful about your time. Yeah. We have two questions in the class and two from YouTube. Does your schedule allow taking those questions?
Yeah, maybe we'll pause after those questions. We'll just do those and then we'll finish, right? Because otherwise it goes on very long, no?
Okay. So Rukmini Mataji, do you want to go next? And then Hari Prabhu?
I was thinking maybe Hari could go first because, I was thinking, you know, I would let other people go first because mine is more of a reflection than a question.
Okay. Hari Prabhu, please go then.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, very nice to hear you as always. I really loved the seminar today, and I was just thinking about two things. They kind of tie together. So you were talking about you needed to create a safe environment where you can be completely honest, but also it's really, really very scary to be completely honest with yourself to the core of who you are. Then you start, once you're really honest to yourself, like we try to hide it by putting so many facades out to the material world. Like when we go out to the office or school, we try to hide these things, but when you're with the pen and paper, then it's just you and your mind. And that's really scary. But I'm just thinking that in terms of the journal, if sometimes you do delve into those deeper aspects of yourself in the journal, the continuity of the journal may be, maybe it may be like it's sometimes too deep, and you may not want to go on for so long. So should we keep a structure, like how you said, you gave us the five things to like what is inspiring you? Should we have that structure and, you know, keep that continuity, or should we be like really honest with ourselves and the continuity may not be as present? I have one more question. Also, I have one more questions as well, but I'll let you respond to this one.
Yeah, thank you so much. It's a great question. When we begin to do this kind of reflection, then we see so much and it can become overwhelming. It can become sometimes depressing. They say the scariest person to meet is yourself, you know, so sometimes it's like that. What I would say is, you know, like in general, my approach to Krishna consciousness is always, what is the real? What is the ideal? And what is the achievable? And I always use this framework, whether I'm giving a class, having a conversation with someone, offering advice, or even looking within my own heart. I'm like, what's the reality? Where am I at? Where do I need to be? Okay, there's a gap there. That's uncomfortable. But you know what? What's the achievable thing that I can do tomorrow to start working towards that ideal? And I think, Hari, what we need to do is that in the journal, it's not just about exposing yourself, but it's about empowering yourself through that knowledge of where you're at to then go on and say, tomorrow, I'm going to pick myself up and I'm going to do this. And that's why another point that I mentioned, Hari, is that the journal shouldn't just be a confession space. It shouldn't just be a space where you just talk about all the negative things. We need to also see the mercy that we got. You know, like in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Kaviraj Goswami, he says like, I'm like a worm in stew. I'm more sinful than Jagga and Madai. Whoever sees me loses his pious credit. You know, like he's just like self-deprecating. But then what does he say in the very next verse? But somehow I got the mercy of Nityananda. And therefore he sees his fallen condition, but then he sees also this positive, all the positives that have happened. And therefore it balances. So the journal should leave you feeling fallen, but hopeful. Keep that mantra in your mind. When you close the journal, you should feel fallen, but hopeful. You should think like, you know what? I got a lot of work to do, but you know what? It's possible because Krishna consciousness is amazing. And you know what? Tomorrow I'm going to go out and try and become better. And then I'm going to return to this space to see how I did. And then I live to fight another day. Prabhupada said, this movement turns crows into swans. So we got to believe in the transformative ability and power of Krishna consciousness. And that's why journaling is also powerful, because you look back and you see transformation. Mm-hmm. And because you see transformation, when today we look at ourselves and see imperfection, we still feel hope, because we look back and you say, I've already come so far. So why can't I go further? I can do it. So we got to also perceive how Krishna consciousness is working. And then even in our imperfection of today, we will feel the hope that something will change in the future. I hope that helps.
Yeah, that really helps a lot, Prabhu. Just a follow-up question. in that when we're reflecting on our lives, you know, for example, like I stay in the temple, and you know, sometimes we're associated with Vaishnavas, and sometimes you know, the first offense is to blaspheme the devotees who have dedicated their lives for the propagation of the holy names of the Lord. So in our journal, when we have like, say, a sour dealing with a devotee or like somebody in the temple, and we're writing about it, our honest reflection, is this also considered an offense, or is this something we're trying to learn from?
But that's the point, that when you have that feeling of a devotee, or you have that, you can say, you know what, I interacted with this devotee and this is how I felt. It's just facts. This is how I felt. I felt that person was envious. That's what I felt. It's just, that's the reality. But then what you can do in the journal, because remember, it's an interface between your impulsive self and your reflective self. So you bring that incident to the diary, and then you say, but you know what? Could I look at this from a different angle? Could there be something I'm missing? Is there something that I need to learn from this? Could I have been party to some of this interaction? And then what happens is it actually helps you from not being offensive, because what you take is your emotion in that situation. But what you do is you put it down on paper, and then you try to frame it within Guru Sadhu Shastra and the reflective self. And then you begin to see, you know what? Maybe a lot of it was me. So I would say it's not offensive to, in your journal, you're just noting what you actually felt. Rather, it's actually helping you not to be offensive, because it's helping you to see things from a more Krishna conscious spiritual point of view. Does that make sense?
Yes, Prabhu. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Thank you, Prabhu. Sutapa Prabhu, is it okay if we take one more question from YouTube?
Yeah, one more is maybe good, I think.
Okay. Ali Prabhu, could you read the question, please?
Sure. Thank you so much, Sutapa Prabhu. It's a wonderful session, as well as, you know, all the answers that you have given. Now on YouTube, we have three questions, and I feel we can get all of them. They should be fairly straightforward for you. I can go quickly. Okay. Yeah, quick. Yeah. So Jaswik is asking, so if one wants to start journaling now, would one start from back when one can remember to the present time, or just start from now?
If you can remember, anything you write down is nice. So if you remember things, if you already have, then by all means, write those things down. And then, yeah, and then otherwise, just get into the, you know, the regular routine. So yeah, by all means, definitely.
Hari Bol, thank you, Prabhu. Satyajit is asking, Hare Krishna, can you recommend any app for journaling?
Oh, okay. I'm not in the millennial generation, so the only apps I have is like Google Maps. Apart from that, I don't do apps. Maybe someone on the call would be better at that than me. Okay, here, Sonu saying Evernote, Penzu. Okay, we got some ideas here. Notability. So maybe, Prabhuji, you can put that on the Microsoft OneNote. You can put this on the...
Okay.
On the YouTube.
Sorry.
Day one.
Yeah, I'll take all these suggestions from the chat and post it on YouTube channel. And the last question is from Smital Matre. Hare Krishna, along with journaling realizations, do Prabhuji also maintain different journals for Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, verses to be memorized, etc.? If Prabhuji can please comment on this.
Yes, many notes, hundreds, maybe thousands of pages of notes that need to enter into the heart. Yeah, so many notes, yes, many. So for every book we're studying, we're writing down many, many things, yeah, for sure.
Hare Krishna, thank you so much, Prabhu. Okay.
Thank you, Prabhu. Prabhu, we want to make sure you come back again to talk about the Chitra Kavitvani.
Oh, yeah, that would be nice. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, and we'll do that sometime.
Yeah. And Rukmini Mataji, she wanted to share something. Do you have time for
that? That would be nice. That would be wonderful, please. Maybe she can have the final icing on the cake.
Yep. Rukmini Mataji, do you have the rights to share?
Yeah, so unfortunately I'm logged in twice because my computer that I'm on is giving a lot of trouble. So to share the screen, can I share as Ruchira Dada? Can you make Ruchira Dada able to share? So thank you so much, Prabhu, for this wonderful class. And I've got so many inspirations, and it seems really helpful. And let me see if I can share. I had to share here, yes. So I just wanted to share quickly something. So this is from the draft of a book that is being written or has been written by Her Grace Urmila Prabhu and myself on Career Dharma, the Natural Art of Work. And this is from the chapter Shades of Ego in the Workplace. So Shades of Ego is what we call the modes of nature in this book. And we just had something about journaling, and what inspired me was you were talking about how we're editing our consciousness when we're journaling. And so that's a really nice phrasing, and that's also how I've also experienced. So I just wanted to go into that a little more. So journaling can help us look at our work from a neutral point of view, and reviewing past journal entries weekly, monthly, or yearly may reveal trends or remind us of aspects of the big picture we may lose sight of when we're caught up in the day-to-day. Various forms of introspection can also help us with the self-discipline of speech. The self-discipline of speech consists in speaking words that are not agitating to others, true, pleasing, and beneficial, as well as self-study / recitation of sacred texts. Bhagavad Gita, chapter 17, verse 15. This self-discipline is of the nature of sattva and thus helps lift us out of the denser shades. If we try practicing this self-discipline in the course of speaking or interacting with others, we may find that it is sometimes tricky in the moment to satisfy all four of not agitating to others, true, pleasing, and beneficial at once. It may appear that we have to trade one of these criteria for another. So another thing we can do while journaling is an easier version of this self-discipline. We can write down something we said during the day and see if it meets all these criteria. If not, we can try rewriting the sentence in different ways so that it better meets more of these criteria. We can do the same with things we plan to say in the future, where we anticipate the wording may be tricky. Workplace interactions provide many of the greatest opportunities for this practice. Gradually, this kind of journaling will help us speak this way in the moment. So I think that's enough sharing from me, but I was hoping also, since some people were asking for inspiration about how to begin, I thought that might help some people think of how to begin. So thank you so much, and you've really helped me. I have been writing my journals on documents, and I realized that I have been inhibited because of the concerns that people brought up. So maybe I will follow your example, and that will help me to get deeper into journaling. So thank you so much, Prabhu.
Thank you so much for sharing. That was beautiful. Look forward to reading the book. Amazing.